Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and guest host, Candace Myers. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hello, I'm Russ Weaver.
And I'm Candace Myers.
And once again, we have a guest host of Candace, and we're so glad you're here.
Me too.
I'm a little concerned because the guy we're going to be introducing, I'm kind of concerned because the message we're going to be introducing is from the ICANN,
the International Cowboy Church Alliance Network.
They have these quick messages, and we're going to use one of these from Bill Shell, and he is a guy who's worked with the juvenile system. Have you ever had any, because you have kids camp.
We do.
So you have any juvenile delinquents at your camp?
Well, that's a matter of opinion, but not technically.
Not technically. So he works with the ones who are in prison. I mean, genuine, hardcore guys. And if you had to work with those, and it was pretty dangerous, you know, and he chose the worst of the worst.
Wow.
He volunteered for the worst of the worst to be able to deal with them. And some of his stories,
I'll bet,
are phenomenal.
I'll bet.
I have a lot of admiration for guys that have that much love and compassion for those kids. And so today, I think it's going to touch your heart. Now, this guy's not wearing a cowboy hat, but don't turn your TV off because of that. This guy, he's from Illinois, mm-hmm. and he's worked with the prison system, with youth that are the worst of the worst, that are in there, going to be in there for years because they're nearing the 18 and they still got problems. Mm-hmm. And he's dealing with these kids, and some of the testimonies of these kids are phenomenal. You're going to hear about one young man today that, man, just between you and me, I don't think I would have survived where he was at.
Wow.
You know, but this guy did. And so this time, you probably want to get your tea and your water or whatever you're going to listen to. But I'm going to tell you, once he starts his story, you're not going to drink any of it. You're going to sit there spellbound. This guy has a tremendous testimony. So we'll be right back. And man, I'm ready to get after Cowboy Church this morning.
Yeah.
They do. And when he said, said. It's only what Jesus did when he bled and died.
What you're going through, the storm, he's there. Sailed along on the ocean deep. I have known the quiet seas, but I find true peace in the troubled times when I'm driven to my knees. When the clouds roll in and cover me, I can't tell night from day. Then I hear his voice cry, peace be still. He will lead me all the way. I will praise him in the storm. Confess there have been fearful days when my ship was badly scarred. But in great fear I hold on to the hands that hold the stars. I am learning how to trust him more through calm or raging wind. For the song of praise means more when I have sailed the storm with
Jesus says, I will pray. I want to do something a little bit different this morning than probably what you expected me to do. We're going to share with you a testimony of what the power of the Word of God can do, the trail of conviction. I looked at the scripture, and thank you for reading that Hebrews 4:12, and we've read that a lot since Mike shared that with us a few weeks ago, and I want to add another passage of scripture to that. And it happens to be what Paul writes to the church at Rome. And in verse number 16 of chapter 1, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Isn't that a good word? I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel of Christ. I was privileged back several years ago. I worked for the college in Illinois. Actually, taught school for the college. I'm retired from that position. So I've had many hats on in life, but I worked for the college for a number of years, and they contracted to the Department of Corrections to do vocational education in the prison system. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I spent 25 years in jail. I've seen it all. I've kind of been there and experienced it, to be honest with you. But you know what I learned early on as a servant of God in that environment? And that's a different environment. Let me tell you something. In fact, I worked in a maximum security juvenile division. And it was insane. I mean, a successful day, as the administrator first told me when we went to work there, a successful day, if you get out alive, it's been a good day. You know what I found out early on? I didn't go there to preach the gospel. And they told me that when they hired me. We are not hiring you to preach the gospel. They knew I was a minister. We're hiring you to teach. But I found out if you've got a captive audience, preach to them. They can't go anywhere. So I shared the gospel every day with these young men. And you know what? Many of them that I shared the gospel with, I've had some of them to tell me, "I've never heard of this man Jesus. Who is he?" You know, I'm talking about young men that is right here from the United States of America, and they've never heard the name of Jesus mentioned. There's a problem. Okay? And you know where some of the problem lies? Some of the problem lies back in the church. What's the church doing? So I would tell them about Jesus. Some of them didn't like it. In fact, I've had some of them that have absolutely, they would leave notes on my desk, "I'm going to kill you because of your stand for Jesus." I've had that to happen. I didn't let that stop me. I knew I had nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. But I had a young man in particular, and this goes right along with the trail of conviction and the power of the gospel as to what it can do. You know what this gospel can do? This gospel can do what I can't do. See, I can stand here and speak words all day long, but it's only the Holy Spirit that convicts a heart. So the power of the gospel is very real. It can do what I cannot possibly do. I had a young man that was in my class, and I'll never forget him, and I'm not going to tell any names this morning for obvious reasons. But this young man was mean. I kid you not. He was violent. He was mean. And I went to the school administrator and said, "I would like to have that young man in my class all day long." And he said, "What did you say?" Because they would go from class to class, and everybody tried to push the bad ones off on somebody else. But I said, I want him in my class every day, all day long. And they said, that won't be a problem because nobody else wants him. And I would tell him about Jesus. And that young man would look at me with piercing eyes like he could absolutely destroy me. I would tell him about my faith in the Lord. I would tell him about how God could change a life, even his, even his. And that young man would talk to me in such terrible ways, I'll never forget. And I continued to show him the love of God. And finally, one day, he got honest with me. And he said, Mr. Shell, he said, you don't understand what you're dealing with. I said, oh, yeah, I do. I said, yeah, I do. I understand very well. He said, no, you really don't. He said, I am the bookkeeper for the Satanic Church. I thought, okay, the Lord can bring you out from that. And I began to speak the word of God into his life every day, every day. He did not like it. Let me tell you, he did not like it. And finally, one day that young man came up and he said, I'm going to show you something. And this is how adamant that he was. And he pulled up his sleeve. And across his arms, there was cut marks all the way up his arms. And he said, Mr. Shell, do you have any idea what that means? Well, I thought I did, but I didn't respond to it. I figured that he was into inflicting pain on himself, as we know that there are those that do that. But I said, no, I have no idea. Tell me what that means. He said, when I joined the Satanic Church, I had to slit my wrist and take my own blood and sign my name in the church book. I said, well, glory be to God. I said, whenever I surrendered my life unto Jesus Christ, Jesus' blood wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It wasn't my blood. It was precious blood that was spilled on Calvary. That young man didn't know how to respond. And I looked him just straight in the eye, and I said, I'm going to tell you something. You may be in the Satanic Church, and you may have done all of these things, but my God teaches me forgiveness. You can be forgiven of your sins, and you don't have to serve Satan, and you don't have to spend an eternity in hell. You can come to Jesus Christ, and you can have eternal hope of heaven and all the blessings that go with that. He said, oh, Mr. Shell, he wouldn't accept me. I've done too much, and I could tell you things that he did, and I won't this morning because they're very bad. In for lots and lots and lots of years. Locked in prison, a young man, 18 years old, locked in prison, going to be there for many, many years. And he said, Mr. Shell, you don't understand. He said, I've got the Satanic Church books in my cell. I said, well, the first thing you need to do is get rid of them. He said, I've tried. I can't get rid of them. I said, take them out and put them in the trash can. That's where they belong. He said, Mr. Shell, he said, I take them out of my room. And he said, they get back in my room somehow. They come back. I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. I said, you bring them to me. You bring them to me and I'll get rid of them. He said, Mr. Shell, I can't do that. I continued to tell him about Jesus. I invited him every day I would invite that young man to Jesus. And you know what, folks, you think it's hard to kneel at an altar in a church? I've had young men in the prison system to kneel in front of my desk and invite Jesus Christ to come into their heart in front of a room full of prisoners. That's what the power of conviction can do. It can remove all fears. It can conquer all obstacles. It can take all of that out of the way. And I've seen those young men fall on their face before God and cry out right there in a classroom setting in front of all of their peers. That was far from God. I invited that young man every day to come to Christ. And finally one day he said, I'll think about it, Mr. Shell. I'll think about it. And it wasn't but just a few days later that whenever it came time for them to come in that I looked and there was a long hallway coming down to my part of the building. I saw this young man come through the door down there with a spring in his step like I had never seen him before. He had a smile on his face and he come running down the hallway. He had his hands in the air and he said, I didn't wait, Mr. Shell. I didn't wait to come here. I asked Jesus into my heart in my cell, and Jesus has come into my heart. And you see, it wasn't a thing that I did. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I have no power to change any life, but my God has the power to change every life. That young man that was locked up in prison for many, many, many years, his life changed. He became a pleasure to deal with. And you know what? I told him that God could set him free from everything that he was in. And you know what happened? When that young man got his heart right with God, with years before him in prison, in about 6 months' time, as he continued to grow and to serve the Lord, some miracle took place, and the prison door was opened, and that young man was totally set free, not spiritually, not only spiritually, but physically. He walked out of the door of that prison because of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. I'm going to announce to you today that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for through the gospel of Jesus Christ, this wonderful, magnificent word, lives can be changed. We've got to be the broadcaster of the word. And when we broadcast the word, conviction comes. Maybe not in the way that we think, maybe not in the place that we think, but when we open ourselves up to be used of God in the place that He puts us in, lives can be changed, not by our authority, but by the word of God.
Amen.
The power of conviction. God bless each of you. Thank you for letting me ramble on this morning and share with you and be encouraged at what God can do and allow Him to use you wherever you are. If it's in this situation, if it's at Walmart, I've got a friend that goes to Walmart every day, and his purpose in going to Walmart is to go through the store telling people about Jesus.
Amen.
It's the power of conviction through the word.